Planning your summer picnic, backyard adventure, or beach day? Jersey Mike's has got you covered with everything you need to beat the summer heat. With cold subs, crunchy chips, and cold drinks. Order on our mobile app and get delivery right to your home or pick up from your nearest Jersey Mike's sub location. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, on this fourth day of August, right? It's fourth day of August. That's Little Lisa. Okay. We want to say, we have a lot to cover on the 4th day of August, 2022, right? Where's summer going? Summer is really flying by. Wow. It is moving fast. And they say the older you get, faster time flies, right?
Yes.
It really does. Anyhow, so tonight, our producer on the board is none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And free... They got out of the boiler room, and they're right here in the studio with me. And that is you heard Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
She waits all day to do that. Right. Okay. And then we have Radical Randy.
Be blessed. No stress, everybody.
There you go. So now we're going to do things a little different tonight. And I think maybe in 50 years I've done maybe two or three times. We're going to play a clip. Well, it's going to be a little bit more of a clip on what we've been talking about. I preached on wizards, witches, and warlocks. Oh, my. And it all had to do with modern-day wizardry out there. And it's got some people that are not really biblically literate and biblically astute. It's really got them confused because they still think that, witches ride brooms and wear... pointed hats. So we're going to play this piece, which maybe it clarifies a lot that it's really got to do with modern wizardry, modern witchcraft. So Courageous, when you're ready, let her go.
Oftentimes when we go to the doctor's office or to a hospital, we put our trust, most of all our lives, in the hands of the staff there. But are we putting too much faith in them? Medical experts now say an estimated 200,000 Americans die each and every year from medical mistakes.
Every 19 minutes, a person dies from prescription drugs.
Stunning medical news tonight about how many Americans have something go wrong when they go to the hospital. The astronomical new number... 1 in 3 patients will face a mistake during a hospital stay. Far worse than we've ever been told.
Most impossible. By the time a drug's approved and it hits the general population, we don't know even 50% of the side effects that are involved with that drug.
The black box warning is actually intended for prescribers. The patient guides that are required for some medications are worded at the layperson level. And it's two totally different types of information. And many times the serious warnings that the doctor's informed of may not be in the patient information.
And let's start with Big Pharma. Now, the pharmaceutical industry, we know, makes money off of sickness and disease. If you're not suffering from a degenerative health condition, then they're not making money. So it's in their interest to make sure that you stay sick. But they don't exactly want to kill you because then they'd lose a customer. So what they really want to do is put you in a situation where you're not quite dead, but not quite healthy and alive. You're somewhere in between.
I would not say that we should fear going to the doctor. I do think people need to understand that the hospital is an inherently dangerous place. And it's not because hospitals are dirty or doctors are lazy or anything like that. Think about it this way. You're taking the sickest people in society, crowding them into one building, tearing new holes in their bodies that they didn't used to have by placing plastic catheters in their bloodstream, in their bladder, putting tubes down their into their lungs so that they can breathe for them. And we're using very large quantities of antibiotics to treat infections. So that's a perfect breeding ground to generate antibiotic-resistant bacteria.
What we've moved from is a world in which we thought that drugs were poisons and the art of medicine was to make sure that the person had a reasonably serious condition that posed risks that justified the risks that we knew came with the pills, to a world where the drugs are now viewed as fertilizers. They can do no harm if you just sprinkle them around the place widely.
So the standard of care now has been implemented to where you can get away with, if you're a medical doctor, psychiatrist, you can get away with murder.
Prophecies dating back to the first century AD give a warning of the dangerous deceptions of Babylon. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. This word sorceries is the Greek word pharmakia, and the origin of our modern word pharmacy. The word literally means from a drug, that is spell-giving potion, a druggist or pharmacist or poisoner, a magician, sorcerer, medication, pharmacy, magic, sorcery, witchcraft. The foundation of the city of Babylon around the year 2194 BC began with the Tower of Babel, the Tower of Confusion. Nimrod, the builder of the tower, was worshipped as the sun god and referred to in different cultures as Ra, Baal, and Belus. Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, known as the mother god, was called Ashtoreth, Ishtar, and Isis. Tammuz, the son of Semiramis, became known as the Son of God, a counterfeit of Jesus Christ, known as Asclepius, Mercury, and Hermes. Washington State University says, Babylon, jewel of ancient Mesopotamia, often called the cradle of civilization, provided the earliest known record of practice of the art of the apothecary. Practitioners of healing of this era were priests, pharmacist, and physician, all in one. Medical texts on clay tablets record first the symptoms of illness, the prescriptions and directions for compounding, then an invocation to the gods. Ancient Babylonian methods find counterpart in today's modern pharmaceutical, medical, and spiritual care of the sick. In Egypt, as well as almost all other cultures, including the Israelite nation of the Bible, the priests were the doctors for the people. The same individuals were responsible for both the religious and the medical aspects of life. Thus, medication and worship have always been connected with each other. The Eye of Horus, the hieroglyph used by the Egyptians as a sign for magical healing, was incorporated into modern medicine by the Romans, who changed the symbol into the RX that we claim is the Latin symbol for the word recipe. This symbol is known as the rod of Asclepius, the Greek god of medicine and healing, the serpent god. He was also called the great physician and the savior. This is none other than Tammuz. He carried the rod of Asclepius, also called the opiate rod, that he used to put people to sleep. Because it was supposed that Asclepius effected cures of the sick in dreams, the practice of sleeping in his temples became common. Asclepius may have established the first hospitals and health spas. The temples of Asclepius were more than places for his cult worship, which was widespread throughout Greece. They were places of healing, and so they may be considered prototypes of modern hospitals. The Roman god Mercury, also Tammuz, known as the messenger of the gods, carried the caduceus, and it became the symbol for supreme deity. It was supposed to have power to put people into a deep sleep and to control both the living and the dead. It was this symbol that Mercury supposedly used to guide souls of the dead into the lower world. The caduceus is also said to have the power to turn anything into gold, which is why it has been also used as a symbol for commerce. The difference between the rod of Asclepius and the caduceus is that the rod represents the medical side, the physician's craft of healing, while the caduceus represents the alchemy side, the chemicals and the drug potions. The bowl of Hygieia is pictured as a wine cup or bowl with a serpent entwined around it. This symbol is used worldwide as a symbol for pharmacies. Hygieia was the goddess of health, the daughter of Asclepius. She is usually pictured as feeding a serpent from the cup that is called the cup of knowledge. This bears a striking resemblance to the account in the book of Genesis of a serpent teaching a woman how to eat from a tree of knowledge. Whether consulting the biblical narrative of the temptation of Eve or considering mythology and fairy tales, this theme of a poisonous prescription causing death is almost universal. But when we look at the history of medication, these witches' potions are no fairy tale.
The answer to this question may be found in some historic events that took place almost a century ago, when official medicine finally managed to gain the upper hand on the so-called empirical doctors, who cured patients with herbs and natural remedies.
In the 1800s, society sanctioned both approaches to healing. Patients had a choice of using either doctors called allopaths or natural healers called empirics or homeopaths. The two groups waged a bitter philosophical debate. The allopathic doctors called their approach heroic medicine. They believed the physician must aggressively drive disease from the body. They based their practice on what they considered scientific theory. The allopaths used three main techniques. They bled the body to drain out the bad humors. They gave huge doses of toxic minerals like mercury and lead to displace the original disease. They also used surgery. But it was a brutal procedure before anesthesia and infection control. Few patients were willing to have surgery. Most patients feared allopathic methods altogether. Satirist of the day remarked that with allopathic treatment, the patient died of the cure. Competing with the doctors were the empiric healers. Contrary to the doctors, they believed in stimulating the body's own defenses to heal itself. Instead of poisonous minerals, they used vegetable products and non-toxic substances in small quantities. They especially favored herbs learned from Native American and old European traditions. The empirics said they based their remedies not on theory, but on observation and experience. Satirists of the day added that with empiric treatment, the patient died of the disease, not the cure. And the balance of medical power remained equal until the turn of the century. Then, new medical treatments emerged that were potentially very profitable. The AMA joined with strong financial forces to transform medicine into an industry. The fortunes of Carnegie, Morgan, and Rockefeller financed surgery, radiation, and synthetic drugs. They were to become the economic foundations of the new medical economy.
With the rise and takeover of the medical occupation by the allopathic doctors and the pharmaceutical industry, there was an increase in more conventional treatments.
Surgery became viable with anesthesia and infection control, and doctors advocated expensive radical operations. These in turn produced the need for a large, lucrative hospital system. Radium fever swept medicine. The price of radium rose 1,000% almost overnight. Another costly technological industry entered the hospital system. A drug industry grew out of the booming patent medicine business. The doctors changed educational standards and licensing regulations to exclude the empirics. Soon, only AMA-approved doctors could legally practice medicine. In a brief 20 years, the AMA came to dominate medical practice. Organized Medicine launched a media campaign to associate the empirics with quacks. The code word for competition was quackery.
First specific evidence that radiation is carcinogenic dates back to the 90s. Carcinomas of the hands and other radiation injuries commonly afflicted the operators of unshielded X-ray machines. The extreme penetrability of hard X-rays and gamma rays makes them carcinogenic to all parts of the body. Whatever the kind of radiation, its effects depend upon the dosage, the length of exposure, and the individual's susceptibility to cancer.
Ironically, it's an event in World War II that gives rise to the premier weapon in the war on cancer. On December 2nd, 1943, the German Luftwaffe launched a devastating air raid on the Allied navies stationed in Bari, Italy. Among the U.S. vessels destroyed is the John Harvey, which carries a secret cargo of 2,000 mustard gas bombs. Several hundred of the attack survivors are exposed to the poison gas, and what doctors discover in treating them is startling.
The blood counts just disappeared, and they died from bone marrow failure. And lymph nodes and autopsies, you couldn't even find them. And so he thought that maybe these would work against cancers if those organs led to the development of nitrogen mustard.
This has built an enormous medical superstructure that has in turn caused a rise in drugs and radiation and taken control over almost every aspect of modern life.
Over 1 million Americans are diagnosed with a new cancer every year. All these people suddenly plunge into a dark tunnel that will dramatically change their life for many years to come. Faced with an apparently endless chain of medical tests, examinations, second opinions, medications, new tests, surgical operations, support therapies, and follow-up checks, they find themselves at the complete mercy of the disease. While in that tunnel, each patient feeds an immense medical apparatus that employs hundreds of thousands of people and generates millions and millions of dollars for the medical and pharmaceutical industries. From research laboratories to medical schools, from prevention clinics to worldwide drug sales. Today, the cancer medical apparatus is so large and expensive that it needs its patients in order to survive just as much as the patients need the apparatus. To sum it all up, the pharmaceutical industry first gained control of the teaching system. Then it gave the AMA the power to exclude all other doctors from practicing. Then it took over the entire drug testing process, while heavily influencing the medical publications that reviewed those drugs. And finally, Big Pharma extended its control over the federal entity that is supposed to verify those drugs' safety and efficacy.
Back a couple hundred years ago, the standard medical practices were insane and barbaric and usually resulted in the death of the patient. Procedures such as bloodletting were common. But today, in modern society, we still do the same barbaric procedures. We have just renamed and modernized them. The modern medical barbarism poisons the blood in the body instead of draining the blood out of the body. The machinery looks good, the technology seems nice, the stainless steel is shiny, and everything smells like isopropyl alcohol. I mean, they are the greatest salesmen in the world. We're going to look back at this century, and we're going to laugh eventually, but we'll cry first. This is one of the most barbaric periods. It's going to be called the Dark Ages of Medicine. The intricate names given the medicines are used to cover up the matter so that none will know what is given them as remedies unless they obtain a dictionary to find out the meaning of these names. For example, mercury is now called thimerosal, hydrargyrum, and a multitude of other names. This was the same tactic used by witches to disguise their poisonous potions. What we render a witch, according to our modern notions of witchcraft, Philo and Josephus understood of a poisoner, or of one who attempted by secret and unlawful drugs or philtra to take away the senses or the lives of men. In the fairy tales, we have mental pictures of witches stirring their potion and throwing in all kinds of terrible ingredients. This practice has come down to us today from Egyptian medicine and paganism to the modern pharmaceutical and vaccine industry, as illustrated in this 1899 picture taken from a university yearbook. The ancient Egyptian medicines were made out of animal products as well as toxic materials apart from natural ingredients commonly found in the country. Animal parts sometimes included brain, liver, or even bile, which was utilized as magical remedies and worked as a magical potion to cure the patient. Toxic minerals like arsenic or copper, along with lead, when used with caution by an experienced physician, and were considered very effective in curing different ailments. To judge from the variety of recipes in medical texts, any medication would involve fairly revolting ingredients. Dung from various animals, fat from cats, fly droppings, and even cooked mice are just a small selection of the range of remedies that the Egyptian doctor could recommend as treatment. Egyptians were also known to use crocodile dung in their medications. Now, while this sounds disgusting to us, modern medicine is really no different from these ancient practices, except for the fact that recently some ingredients have been compounded synthetically instead of using the original source. Some have been discontinued due, ironically, to toxic side effects. Some, however, are still in use. Still others are being tested for possible future use. Doctors go to great lengths to disguise the fact that they are practicing a black art rather than a science. The medical profession has created a pseudoscience of mammoth proportions, and today's doctors rely on a vast variety of instruments and tests and pieces of equipment with which to explain and dignify their interventions. Even today we have babies being sacrificed to Moloch through the barbaric practice of abortion. One of which, known as HEK-293, or human embryonic kidney 293 cells, has been used for years for pharmaceutical research and to make various products. Concerning the black art or sorcery connection, some doctors will admit without embarrassment that they indeed invoke the spirits in their practice. Dr. Raymond Abomsawin relates an experience that he had with a medical doctor at an international health convention in Toronto, Canada.
A few minutes later, I got a tug on my shirt from this guy behind me. And I turned around and he says, "What do you mean talking about the spirits?" He says, "I never prescribe a drug." This is a medical doctor. "I never prescribe a drug without first consulting the spirits."
Obviously, there is quite a bit of harm in pharmacy.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, "Heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege, when the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992, when they murdered Dickie Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed a church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege, war now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
Theo Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. In Matthew 24, verse 8, our Lord warns of a future time that he calls the beginning of sorrows. The world is on the brink of that time. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." I believe that that passage of Scripture currently describes the deplorable moral condition of both America and Israel today. Please join with us on September 11th for a National Day of Repentance, fasting and praying for revival. Encourage your pastor to preach a sermon on repentance, fasting, and revival on 9/11/22. May God bless America. Alrighty, we are back, and we have with us here tonight the one and only, boy, he's ripping, he's ready to roll, Dr. Peter Glidden. Are you there, Brother Peter?
Boy, I tell you what, Pastor, that was the greatest. I mean, you're speaking my language now. That was one of the best little diatribes I've heard about the status quo of medicine in the United States. That was just music to my ears. Thank you so much.
Now, you know what? I know what you hear back, because come tomorrow, I'm going to get a number of emails from angry people because they didn't like what they heard. And, you know, I had said last night or whatever, according to modern day, according to God's Word, the Bible, okay, Mr. Fauci is a warlock. He's a warlock, okay? Or a wizard, if you will, because he's practicing poisoning people. He's poisoning people, and that's a part of what pharmakia is. And
welcome to my 100%. Welcome to my world. This is what myself and my colleagues have been telling people for the last 30 years, for goodness sakes, and I'm glad that you are on board trying to open people's eyes.
Well, I'm not the only one, because in the piece that we played, we only played just a part of it. It's actually an hour and 30 minutes long, but you have Dr. Maurice Herrera, Dr. Brad Spellberg, Dr. Mike Adams, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. James Chappell, Dr. Raymond Obmission. Obmission. He has a name that's hard to pronounce, along with others in all in that video, who all agree 100% with you. And so,
yeah. Well, it's a rising tide. The coronavirus narrative is starting to disintegrate because of all of the deaths and all of the negative ramifications of the vaccines, and it's making people look. It's making people take a look. It's pulling back the curtain, right? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Well, guess what? People are paying attention to the men and women behind the curtain, and they don't like what they see. So this, I guess, maybe is the silver lining to all of this doom and gloom.
Well, here's the thing, Peter. You're a naturopath. These people, most of those I just mentioned, are MDs.
It's funny. It's right. And so the tide is turning. There are a number of medical doctors who are seeing the light, who are practicing something called functional medicine and or supporting alternative professions like mine. So this is a good thing, and it's a really good thing. However, the majority of people, right, in the world, still are completely in the dark about all of this stuff. They don't understand the distinction between an allopathic physician and a homeopath or a naturopath or anybody else. Most people still think that doctors practicing anything but MD medicine are quacks. And there's a lot of brainwashing that we have to get on the other side of. And so I'm very, very proud of you, Pastor, and I'm very thankful for what you're doing in order to lift people into the light here, because this is very important.
Well, you know, the thing of it is it's not because of the people. I think you have a lot of people that agree with you, but the problem of it is they've got the big pharma's money with them, and that's the problem. That's what we're fighting. We're fighting that money, but you know, everywhere I go and I talk to people, they agree with us. They agree with us. Let's go back to the natural herbs. And they work. They work. Natural herbs actually cure the ailment, not to just treat the disease. And I think that's exactly, you know, what they were talking about in that. They wanted to keep
it
you.
It is.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a very important distinction that people need to understand, you know. Buddhists do things the way that they do because of their philosophy. Christians do what they do because of their philosophy. Everybody does what they do because of their philosophy, and it doesn't stop with science. It doesn't stop with medicine. The philosophy of allopathic medicine, which is what your medical doctor is trained in, nobody practices medicine, by the way. Medicine is like a big umbrella under which many different disciplines hang. And your medical doctor may be the nicest person that God ever created, but your medical doctor doesn't practice medicine. Amen. Your medical doctor practices allopathic medicine, and allopathic medicine is atheistic. Allopathic medicine doesn't believe that the body can fix itself. Allopathic medicine believes the body is a bag of biochemicals waiting to break, and when it does break, it's the doctor's job to manage the symptoms. So the blood pressure is never cured, it's managed. The anxiety is never cured, it's managed. The depression is never cured, it's managed. The arthritis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The only thing that conventional medical doctors, allopaths, can cure are a handful of infections. And those treatments that they use are starting to fail us. And antibiotic-resistant infections is going to be the next plague, no kidding. But the point here to understand, the take-home message, is medical doctors practice disease management through the use of pharmacy and surgery. Naturopathic doctors and every other type of doctor in the world practices health recovery. And what we attempt to do on our side of the aisle is actually stimulate the body's ability to heal the problem, to cure the condition. Now, you know, if most people were given these choices, well, what would you rather do? Would you rather see a doctor, a licensed physician, who's just going to manage your disease with drugs and surgery that's going to make you weaker and sicker and more dependent on the drugs over time and, oh, by the way, pretty expensive? Or would you rather go to a licensed physician who's going to try to cure the problem? Most people, everybody, would want to go to the physician who's going to try to cure the problem. But people don't know these distinctions. People don't know that naturopathic doctors exist. People don't understand the monopoly, and it's killing us slowly.
No. You're absolutely right. You know, here's what I've got. This is for the CDC recommended vaccines scheduled for U.S. children. Listen to this. In 1962, they had polio, smallpox, and DTP. This is what the CDC in 1962 recommended. In 1983, it was DTP, 2 months, OPV at 2 months, DPT at 4 months, OPV at 4 months, and DPT at 6 months. And I'm not even sure what they are, okay?
Diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus.
Okay. But now, listen to this. In 2019, influenza, DTAP, hepatitis B at birth, hepatitis B 2 months, rotavirus at 2 months, DTaP at 2 months, HIV at 2 months, PBC at 2 months, IPV at 2 months, rotavirus 4 months, DTAP at 4 months, HIV at 4 months, PCV at 4 months, IPV at 4 months, hepatitis B at 6 months, rotavirus 6 months, DATP 6 months, HIV at 6 months, PCV at 6 months, IPV at 6 months, influenza at 6 months, influenza at 7 months, HIV at 12 months, PCV at 12 months, MMR at 12 months, varicella at 12 months, hepatitis A at 12 months, MMR at 15 months, DTP at 18 months, OPV at 18 months, DTP at 4 years, and OPV at 4 years, TD at 5 years. Now, there's about 40 more. I mean, there's about 40. This is what now that they represent. Now, does that sound like that's a moneymaker for Big Pharma?
Yeah, it's a huge moneymaker. And it would be one thing if those treatments worked, but they don't. And our experience on the other side of the aisle is that, you know, because naturopathic physicians in states where we're licensed to practice naturopathic medicine, we see a lot of children whose parents have not vaccinated them because we advocate against that. We advocate to not vaccinate your kids. And rightly so, because that's where the science leads. And you can, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny talks about that all day long. This is not my opinion. This is academic fact. The vaccines are more harmful than they are effective. And if doctors actually read the research concerning this, instead of just the abstract at the beginning of the research, then they would agree, because this is, again, this is academic. But what we find in our pediatric population of unvaccinated kids is that they're much healthier than the vaccinated kids. The kids that are sick through their infancy and their toddlerhood and their young adult lives, who get earaches all the time, who get strep throat, who get fevers, who get bronchitis, who get pneumonia, these are the kids who've been vaccinated. Mostly. I mean, the numbers are, it's not even a fair fight, because the vaccinated kids are more sickly than the unvaccinated kids. And this is one of the dirty little secrets that conventional medicine doesn't want people to understand.
Well, there's a number of papers being written now, and I just saw, in fact, in this film that we were just playing, that clip, they go on to talk about they quote a number of doctors where they have written books called Murder by Medicine, Murder by Medicine. Right. And I guess the first one by that title was written back in the 1800s. But,
You're welcome to your own opinion, right, but not your own set of facts. If you follow the numbers, the leading cause of death in the United States is MD-directed medical therapeutics. About 680,000 people a year are killed by medical therapeutics. Not by naturopathic therapeutics or chiropractic or osteopathic or homeopathic or botanical medicine therapeutics or traditional Chinese medicine or acupuncture therapeutics or Ayurvedic medical therapeutics, but by pharmakia.
Well, you know, now you're talking mostly, for the most part, you're talking about prescription drugs. You're, or You're talking about medical treatment that the people have gotten from doctors. But what if you add fentanyl to that? Then what do you come up with? You come up with over a million a year in this country, right?
It's off the charts, right? And this is the other thing. So, and you know, this isn't rocket science. So here's what happened. Somebody has a physical condition that causes them pain. They go to a medical doctor because that's the only thing they know and the only thing their insurance pays for. The medical doctor has no idea what's causing the pain. The medical doctor has no idea how to cure the condition that's causing the pain. So all the medical doctor can do is give drugs to suppress the pain and suppress the inflammation. Those treatments ultimately fail. They're only temporary because, you know, it's like sweeping dirt under the rug. It's only a matter of time until those chickens come back home to roost again. So the patients are prescribed oxycodone, hydrocodone, and drugs of this nature until the doctor can't prescribe them anymore because the patients reach the legal limit. And now the doctor has to stop prescribing the drug, but the patient is still in pain. And now the patient is suffering from withdrawal symptoms from being on the drug. So what does the poor patient have to do? Well, they have to scratch that itch. They have to. So they're going to find fentanyl, they're going to find heroin, they're going to find alternatives to the pain meds that they were prescribed by the medical doctors that failed. And nobody holds the medical doctors accountable, for goodness sake. It's a crap show of biblical proportions. And, you know, it speaks to the industrial medical pharmaceutical complex that's running the world, because you don't think people in government have their hands in the drug trade? They do. It's time we all woke up.
They certainly do. But here's what I'm seeing. And I've had conversations with a number of medical doctors, and it's almost to the, I mean, you get the feeling that they really don't believe in what they're doing. And most of them, and because I've, you know, when I talk to them about, well, you know, about the drugs, you can see that they're not really sold on their position. They're really not like you will defend your position till the cows come home, but they won't. And here's the other thing. Like I had when a nurse called me trying to push the flu shot on me. And we had a conversation. By the time we were finished with the conversation, she wanted to know how she could contact you or Wendy or someone, a naturopath, because when I told her about, you know, let me just tell you about some of the things that we report on the air. And when we were finished, she said, yeah, I want to change direction. Absolutely. And that was a nurse.
Well, the truth has a ring to it. And, you know, this is all that we have to do is just stand up in the town square and speak the truth. And we will get to the, you know, the 100th monkey phenomenon eventually, where so many people have seen the light that it's going to cross. I mean, it's going to cross all the barriers. And by the way, the whole nurse thing, when I'm appointed Surgeon General of the United States, I'm going to give the nurses more power than the doctors, and that will change everything.
All right, well, let me ask you about this, because you're on top of things. Are we going to see a real push hard to lock down for moneypox? I mean,
100%. Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
That's what
it's going to get worse as the flu season approaches.
I got a feeling it's going to get a lot of pushback. I mean, I'm talking to people, and what I'm hearing, people, they're saying they could take their moneypox and shove it. They're not. No, we've had enough. Enough is enough. And here we were showing a video. Now, here's what you'd never see on NBC, ABC, CBS. Here we had a clip that we just played last night, and it had to do with the vax. And in Canada, I mean, people, you had a huge, huge crowd come out, anti-vaxxers, no vax, we don't want to take your jab, we're not taking your vax, take it. But you didn't see one bit of that on any of the news media here. I mean, it was a huge, and the police were absolutely brutal. I mean, brutal with the people trying to force that on them. And so I think they're going to get a lot more pushback than they know when it comes to, if they try to do the same thing, the lockdowns. Maybe in the major cities they might get away with it, but they're not going to get away with it out here, I can tell you that.
Well, it's going to be perhaps, hopefully, the straw that breaks the camel's back. And as, regretfully, more vaccinated and boosted people start to suffer pulmonary embolisms and hemorrhagic strokes and die as a direct result of known vaccine side effects, non-vaccine vaccine side effects, you know, you can't suppress this information forever. It's like Lincoln said, you can't fool everybody all the time. You can't. And I think we are going to get to a breaking point. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But what I think is going to happen is I think that they're going to turn it around. They're going to come around. They're going to say, oh, yeah, the vaccines are bad. We didn't know that the vaccines were bad, and it's Trump's fault because Operation Warp Speed, he was the one that promoted the vaccines, and it's all Trump's fault, and Trump is bad and evil, and Trump is bad and evil, and Trump is bad and evil, and that's probably where they're going to go with it.
So then you think Biden is going to say, it was Trump's fault that I ended up with COVID four times.
Yeah, and nobody ever questions, oh, positive test Monday, negative test Tuesday, positive test Wednesday, negative test Thursday. Nobody questions the validity of the testing. The validity of the testing is BS. The testing has always been BS. The testing was never designed to test for the stuff. That particular protocol was designed to create more genetic material for research. It's a bad test. It has very little sensitivity, very little specificity. But nobody questions that. Even when they see it happening to, you know, the would-be president of the United States, is because people are dumber than stumps in this country, you know, with the exception of everybody listening to this station.
Right, okay. You're right. Listen, believe me, there are some of those out there. Let me give you an example. When I called, you know, I said, you know, according to modern-day wizardry, Fauci and these others, they're wizards. They're modern-day wizards. They're poisoning the people. They're doing exactly what the definition of pharmakia was. Now, I also mentioned about Hillary being a witch, and some were offended. How dare I call Hillary a witch? Do you know who I heard say that Hillary was a witch?
Who?
Hillary. She came right on. She was on C-SPAN, and she came out, and she was addressing a large group of lesbians, and she introduced herself as Drusilla, the Witch of the West. And this was their witch coven out there. And so many people are so biblically illiterate, they don't understand. You know, we gave a lot of this week. I preached on witches and wizards this whole week. And what happened was I used, a lot of scriptures from the Bible on wizardry and witchcraft and so on and so forth. And in that video that we played earlier, the clip, they used a lot of the very same. They're some of the same scriptures, but the vast majority of people are so biblically illiterate out there, they're clueless. I mean, they just don't get it at all. It's here, we're living, this is real time right now, huh?
Well, history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes, right? If the story's true, and I believe that it was true, and you believe that it was true, not everybody who had the chance to got on board Noah's Ark, right?
Right.
It's the same now. You know, the truth is right here in front of people. All they have to do is open their eyes, let the scales drop from their eyes, and just take a deep breath and take it all in. But a lot of people just don't have the ontological maturity to do that. They just don't, for whatever reason. I've seen it writ large over the last 30 years with people who get sick while they're under the care of an allopathic physician. Their mother gets sick, gets cancer, gets high blood pressure, gets something, heart disease, while they're under the doctor's care, spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month in medical insurance premiums. Oh, goodness sakes. Then they get sick. And then the treatments that are offered by the people that they're paying insurance premiums to have the opportunity to see, the treatments don't cure anything. They just manage the problem. And the older that they get, the sicker and the weaker that they get, and then they die. And, you know, I mean, your medical doctor may be the nicest person that God ever created, but if you get sick and die under the medical doctor's care, it's the medical doctor's fault. It's the medical doctor's fault. It's not your fault. It's not society's fault. It's the medical doctor's fault. But because of the monopoly, they're not held to task. And because of the overt socialization that's been happening here and propaganda for the last 100 years, people are so smitten by their doctors that even when the doctors fail them, even when their doctors bankrupt them, by the way, the leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States is medical bills, and even when their loved ones are killed because of ineffective medical treatment, people organize a 5K run, you know, raise $10,000 and give it to the medical industry that failed them. And this is how deep the socialization goes. But I hope that you're right, Pastor. I hope that this is beginning to crack. I hope that this facade is starting
to crack. Well, what I'm saying, look, it used to be, when I was young and growing up, doctors were held in high esteem. Medical doctors were held in high esteem back in those days. And even those that were not naturopaths, they made house calls. When I was young, they used to come to the house, and often they would, they would prescribe natural herbs and things to elderberries. You need to give them. And I remember every spring, my mother would make us all drink sassafras tea, which was a horrible tasting thing stuff. But but the doctors would tell them that, and now. What's happening, they don't have that respect that they used to have. And of course, either do pastors nowadays, because we have so many apostates out there, which would be
right.
Exactly where God's word, the Bible said, would happen. I mean, we're right there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But
I'm with you 100%, Pastor, and it's been a slow drift towards insanity, right? And it's happening even in my profession. I mean, my profession is divided right down the middle now because about 20 years ago, for reasons that people still argue about, the pharmaceutical agenda started to slowly, insidiously creep into the education of the naturopathic physician. And so now a modern, like if you go to naturopathic medical school now, you're going to be taught how to use drugs as primary medicine, and use botanical medicines and vitamins and naturopathic therapeutics to back up the use of the drugs. It's a complete bastardization and overhaul of naturopathic medicine, and I believe it was done on purpose by agents of the pharmaceutical industry.
Well, I do too, and I know that there's a big push to try to have that, natural medicines taken over by the FDA. And I know that there's a lot of naturopaths that are very concerned about that. But here, I know here, like where I'm at in Ohio, we have a lot of naturopaths around here. And many of them have programs like on this radio station that we're on right now. In fact, most of the people I know go to naturopaths instead of medical doctors.
You got to love it. And when I was in school, when I graduated naturopathic medical school 1991, there were five states in the United States that licensed and regulated naturopathic medicine. Five. Now there's 24, I think, 22, 24. So progress has been made, but there's still a lot of, we still have a long, long way to go, man.
Yeah, well, we do, and the thing of it is, the word's getting out. Guess what? Murder by medicine. I mean, the word's getting out, especially now, with Fauci, with these kill shots, people, no matter how hard they try to suppress it, the word is still getting out. We're coming up to a break. Hang tight. We'll come back right after this, and we're going to talk about attempt a cure, and everybody is sick, and I know why. Be right back with more. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program,
you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.